Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bomb. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass off.
I feel mean.
Let me see if we cut the Kit Kat a-hole.
Hey, motherfucker.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Everything Action Cast for the week of November 12th, 2012. I'm your host, Zach, and just joining me this week, we have Chris.
Hello.
And Joe.
Evening or morning, depending on where you're listening.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, good tidings to you.
So, I think we got a great show as usual. We're going to talk about a bunch of news and what we've been watching. And why don't we get right into it with a trailer. We would kick off news with a trailer. So the big trailer that came out last week was the trailer for World War Z, which is the much delayed, much in trouble adaptation of Max Brooks' awesome zombie novel. And starring Brad Pitt as a UN worker. Apparently it seems like he has some sort of military background according to the trailer, but it's basically him he's recruited to like go around the world and try to figure out why there's zombies appearing.
He's using his UN skills.
Yes. The model UN skills that he picked up.
For a model UN guy, it's a lot of guns. I didn't know. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of weapons training.
You never had, like, violent takeovers of countries in the UN?
I mean, my tour trips were, like, boring and shit. I mean, I don't know, Brad Pitt.
It's like China pulls a gun.
Oh, just negotiation.
Just hand over the wheat and no one gets hurt. But, yeah, so Brad Pitt, running around the world, zombies occurring. Directed by Mark Forster, who most recently directed Quantum of Solace. Yeah, so that's not a very... Then I forget what else he's directed about. Oh, I think he directed I Am Legend. Did he? No, that was something else. Because that'd make a whole lot of sense looking at the zombies in the trailer. But
jeez him.
Yeah, what'd you guys think of the trailer for World War Z?
It looks interesting.
Interesting zombie physics.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think of the word swarm when I see that.
A tsunami, you know? Of zombies.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool visuals, but like, I don't know how that's going to work out. Like, I'll put it to you like this, I'm such a purist when it comes to zombies that I was mad enough about, like, jumping zombies in House of the Dead, and then, like, running zombies in the Dawn of the Dead remake. So I'm very particular when it comes to zombies. I've kind of gotten over the whole running zombies thing, like, that's okay with me. Like, zombies don't need to be, like, deteriorating and, like, look like, you know, Resident Evil zombies to be a zombie. Like, that's okay. But shit, like, come on. At a certain point, like, they're not zombies anymore. They're just fucking, like, creatures, you know?
Yeah. I think it's just me and you, Chris, last night after the Skyfall. We were talking about how the zombies are gonna form like a mega zombie, like
a mega, like, like become like a together. Super Voltron zombie. Yeah.
They're pretty cool. I mean, like, right now, they're like, it's just like this like wave of zombies like smashing against walls and buses and stuff.
I get that because that's like animalistic how they just like charge and they don't care if they die. They just kind of get closer to like the people. Mm-hmm. And that's cool. Like, I thought that was, oh, that's a cool one scene. Turns out that's just what they just do, like, in this movie.
Swarm! Swarm!
I'm just like, I don't understand how they become, like, really athletic and super fast when they're zombies. Like, I kind of like my zombies slow and just, like, they surround you by how slow they are and, like, just build numbers, you know?
That's all I'm trying to say.
That's how it was in the book.
That was in the book. Like, yeah. It was, like, oh, it took a while.
That's
like,
just the Zombie Survival Guide. Also, the predecessor to World War Z, written by Max Brooks,
yeah,
talks about it, too. They're not running zombies. In fact,
there's... That was the whole thing like in World War Z, they have like the Battle of Yonkers, which is like the U.S. military is like, oh, we'll stop this invasion right now because they're slow walking zombies. We'll take them out, and then it's like they didn't realize how like hard it would be to get headshots, and then if they like even if they like, blow them up with tanks, they're gonna still come at them, like just crawl at them without legs. So they got overrun, like basically got overrun because like even though they're walking slow, it's just like you have to hit them in the head. And they came up with like the shovel, like the it was, like the M16 with like a shovel at the front of it. They call it like the lobotomizer. So they like slam the shovel head into the zombies. It's like their main weapon.
I mean, that's what's cool about the series was that I was trying to take like a how-to guide and apply it to, you know, how people characters would use that and try to figure out like the proper methods.
Yeah,
went out the window.
Yeah, because there's so many like diverse characters in the book. There's like the Japanese kid who like went in the park and like learned from like that blind samurai guy how to like sword fight. He's like super like computer nerd, and then he went into, like in the forest and learned to be like a samurai. And there's like the whole like the submarine crew. They had like civilians, and they like had to like stay underwater the entire time, or else they get swarmed by zombies. I also remember there was like the part where he was talking like there's like a private security guy or like a like bodyguard guy, and like the zombies like attacked like this mansion in Hollywood. And like all the like the stupid celebrities got eaten, like Paris Hilton was getting eaten, like they didn't say it, but it was like all these like these horrible like reality stars were getting eaten. So they're having like a party in Hollywood. And like the zombies just overwhelmed the party.
I mean like they're probably not gonna show that.
No, it's just gonna be like it looks like he's going to like Afghanistan or something, or Africa and all these different places. Well,
it seemed like they're trying to fight it in the hopes of they can prevent it. But the thing about World War Z that was really great was it's like the aftermath of a failed attempt at that, you know?
Yeah.
Wasn't like, this seems like they're gonna...
Yeah, one of the big things is, like, some guy at the UN created, like, the plan of, like, we're gonna sacrifice this entire portion of Africa to, like, get the zombies there. Like, basically just, like, funnel them into this like, entire country and just, like,
right,
sacrifice the entire civilian population.
I'm just trying to figure out, like, okay, that was part of the... That's not in the book, right? That's just part of what this plot of this movie is.
No, that was in the book. There was, like, the... I forget what... Some sort of, like... It was the... Like, I can't remember the name of it. It was The Blank Solution. I can't remember what the actual name of it does, but... It's, like, this... The scientists, or, like, some guy... Like, he's basically, like... This is the only way we're gonna stop the zombies is, like, lure them into this one place and then bomb the entire... Like, nuke the entire country. And there's also the thing about, like, everyone, like, fled to, like, Canada, and, like, during the winter, and the zombies froze, so that's how they won that. They basically beat back the zombies in Canada, because they froze to death, or, like, froze solid, and then they had, like, they would thaw in the spring and then come back to life, so they had, like, murder them as they were thawing out.
Oh, Canada.
So, like, they're not going to probably cover that. They're probably going to get to the Africa part or something.
It's like very,
it's
very,
an extremely
very
watered down disaster movie.
Super, super loosely based on the book.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it's officially a disaster movie. It's like they're trying to be like Contagion meets like fucking I Am Legend meets like Deep Impact.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. I'm saying like, the only reason I like I Am Legend because it's like the failed attempt at saving humanity. And
I have
no
problem
with
I Am Legend. I love that whole story. You know, the Omega Man, all that, or the Last Man on Earth, whatever you want to call it, all that shit. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying, like, like we've been talking about, it's not the same as the book. It's based. It's not even adapted from the book. It's based on the book.
Yeah. Because like Brad Pitt's character is like completely made up. I think he's supposed to be loosely based on like the researcher guy, who's like who's like your main character in the World War Z. He's going around interviewing everybody.
He's not interviewing people. He's kind of like it seems like he's just, you know,
collecting stories,
trying to save his family, and then
In the book, he's just collecting stories and interviewing everyone. And then the zombies have already been beaten, but it took like years and years and years to beat them.
This is happening. Action's happening now, and it's like all the things that all these stories aren't happening at the same time, just his story.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of him hogging it all.
Because he's Brad Pitt.
It's Brad Pitt. He's got to have, like, 8 different original stories combined into one, and that's just called this new World War Z movie. So, I'm not that excited.
Yeah. It looks like way too much CG. Like, all the time you're clearly CG, just like blobs fusing together. But it's gonna be one of the big summer movies next year. And finally coming out after it got, like, I think it went to like 3 or 4 directors and had to, like, they had to rewrite the entire script or something. They brought, like, Damon Lindelof in to rewrite the script. So it's been in trouble for a while. Now it's finally coming out.
And they did a ton of reshoots too.
Yeah, reshoots, rewrites, new directors. It was
basically anything that you can do to try to make a movie different after it's been done. Like, really, like they've done.
The only weird thing is, like, the constant has been Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt was the first person signed on. I think his production company is, like, producing it too.
Oh, good.
So, yes, that is going to be out in June next year. And then moving on to other news, we learned last week that Mark Wahlberg is going to be starring in Transformers 4.
How's your mother?
Yes, let's get all those jokes out.
You're a prime. I'm Mark Wahlberg.
Hey, Bumblebee, you turn into a Mustang? I produce Entourage.
We should do an album together.
Hey, guys. Nah, nothing.
So this is like insane, because it was a big internet rumor of them, like, oh man, Mark Wahlberg is gonna be in Transformers 4, and Michael Bay's like, no, wait a second. Thanks, internet. That's a great idea. So basically, the internet made this happen.
Right, but like, I think Michael Bay needs to finish one, like, killing one franchise before moving to another.
He's working on
the Turtles, and he's trying to refix all that.
It's like on the back burner. He'll check in on, like, that's Platinum Dunes, like, his company, but he's not like overseeing it at, like, minute by minute. He's working on Pain and Gain right now, which is like a heist movie with Mark Wahlberg and The Rock.
Oh yeah. I forgot about that movie.
Yeah, that's coming out. I think that's coming out next year. So it's kind of like him taking a break from Transformers, then he's going to be back into Transformers.
I mean, you know what they could have done as a gimmick, and it would have been 4 times as better? They could have got Jason Statham as the Transporter, and they could have put him in the Transformers.
And his Audi turns into a Transformer?
Yes. And they go on, like, grand adventures together, like a fucking buddy cop thing. Or not a buddy cop, like a buddy inanimate object / dog movie. You know?
Boy, we gotta transport this all Spock.
I mean, think of it. It would be like Knight Rider and, like, Transformers, and it would fucking work.
Shut up, you're a bloody car. And I guess, So I guess Transformers 4 is going to take place like 4 years after Dark of the Moon, and not have any of the original characters from the previous 3, and it's going to have all new Transformers, apparently.
I mean,
they have to. Optimus Prime has to be in the movie, and Bumblebee probably.
No, I actually don't mind if Bumblebee's not in this. I'm kind of happy if he's not, because Bumblebee was like Sam's thing.
They'll probably come up with a new one, yeah.
I wish they give him, like...
Yeah, who, like, who, which... Is there, like, a big Autobot that hasn't shown up yet that would be, like, Mark Wahlberg's car?
Oh, God. Okay. Here's another idea. No, he died.
Yeah, he died, yeah.
They go further. They bring in Transformers, the Beast Wars model. Oh, and instead of, like, a car, he has to deal with, like, a rat. Or, like, Optimus Prime, the monkey.
They should bring the Dinobots in, finally.
Mark Wahlberg, a bunch of dinosaurs? That's...
Yeah, Grimlock.
Robot dinosaurs from outer space.
Me, Grimlock, say hi to your mother. And they killed Megatron, they killed
They didn't. Oh, yeah, they did. I forgot. It was really fast.
Fucking like Sub Zero Mortal Kombat. It like ripped his spine out.
I thought he got shot.
Oh, well, yeah. Which one? Did Bumblebee like do that to like Sound? I forget. One of them got like their like spine ripped out by someone. It might have been Soundwave.
Starscream?
No, Starscream got like Sam was like doing it as like crazy. Like I'm hanging on you for like. I'm hanging off on this crazy grappling hook, and, like, I shoved the bomb in your eye. It might have been, what was Leonard Nimoy's character? Something Prime? Oh, Spock McPrime, Prime. Something, Spock Prime. One of them, like, either him or Megatron got, like, their freaking, like, head ripped off. And he had, like, robotic spine and, like, spinal fluid coming off of it. And someone got, like, uppercutted, well, and their head got pushed off.
There's something about that movie that it's not memorable for me, you know?
Nope.
I don't know, I kind of like the second movie where, like...
Do you remember, like, weird old Transformer guy?
Yeah, he was cool.
Weird old inventor guy who got, like, horribly murdered?
The scientist one?
Yeah.
The Albert Einstein robot?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was awful, because that was really dramatic for this movie. He was, like, being executed, and it's just like, Jesus!
Then Ironhide got, like, melted by, like, the,
Oh, because he thought it would be just gun. A scratch, and then just like, oh, he's a rust gun. It's like, wait, did he just give him robot AIDS?
Oh, man. Yeah, so that's probably coming out around 2014, I want to say, because next year is like it's gonna be Pain and Gain, and they'll probably start working on it next year. So that's gonna happen. More Transformers.
Yeah, it's what America needs in a time like this. But the thing is, like,
Mark Wahlberg has more action chops than Shia LaBeouf, so that could be better.
But like, I mean, besides running around, it's like he can't punch a robot. Is he gonna fuck a robot? Because Shia LaBeouf almost did that in the second movie. So it just really,
it's like weird, like it's like breaks the entire franchise. Like, why would the Decepticons just not be like? Why would they not be humans and just like,
right.
Us?
Well, they can't because Mark Wahlberg would fuck them silly. You know, that's his only. The robot's only vulnerable points are like is like love. So Mark Wahlberg is trying to charm them.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they still keep him like. Well, not even Josh Duhamel's coming back.
They said none of the original characters.
So I don't mind Josh Duhamel. Actually, I wouldn't mind if the story just started him, you know?
Him and, like, him and Tyrese.
Their comical relationship, yeah. See, why did Tyrese not become a soldier anymore? He just, like, was an engineer?
He was just, in a garage somewhere. He went, like, became this Fast and the Furious character. So anyway, actually, moving on to another movie based on toys, the Lego Movie, which is coming out sometime soon, I think next year, possibly. They added a bunch of new people to the voice cast, or just announced a bunch of people who are going to be in the cast. And they announced that Will Ferrell is going to be playing the bad guy, President Business.
Son of a beasting.
His name is President Business. And he wants to, like, basically, like, fuse Lego bricks together permanently instead of, like, allowing them to be, like, built and then rebuilt.
Is he a Lego himself, too?
Yeah, everyone's Lego figures.
And are they aware they're Lego people or something? Like,
yeah, I
read nothing about
this. It's basically, like, all the Lego all the Lego worlds are connected. So, like, there's, like, the DC Lego world and Harry Potter world and regular, like, Lego City world, which is where the main character comes from.
That's kind of cool.
He's just like a normal, like, minifigure, and then everyone mistakes him for, like, being, like, the master builder who can, like, build anything. So he's, like, recruited to, like, fight off, like, President Business. Then Morgan Freeman is, like, a wizard who joins him.
So who's the main character, though?
Just this this, like, regular, like, Lego town, city person named Emmett. He's voiced by Chris Pratt from Parks and Rec, Andy from Parks and Rec.
Wow, they're giving his doleful sounding voice like Actually, no, he does sound like an idiot, so this kind of makes sense for a Lego, so.
And then Elizabeth Banks is, like, the third part of the hero team. And then they also, then Will Ferrell, bad guy. Liam Neeson is going to be his main henchman, bad cop.
Okay. That's...
This is sounding more and more like a Nick Cage movie.
And then, speaking of Parks and Rec, Nick Offerman, a.k.a. Ron Swanson, is going to be playing a pirate.
Awesome.
Who wants revenge against Will Ferrell's character. And then Alison Brie is going to be part of the hero quartet.
Yeah, she needs more movies.
Mm-hmm. And it's the guys who directed 21 Jump Street and Hollywood Chance of Meatballs directing this.
I'm optimistic.
Yeah, this movie sounds more and more awesome every time they announce something about it.
You know, I think they just saw how Wreck-It Ralph would work, and they're just like, they would love this if this were all Legos instead.
Also, Will Arnett is going to be playing Lego Batman.
That's beautiful.
So actually, they're going to, like, the Lego DC universe. So I think the whole thing is, like, it's kind of like Lord of the Rings, where you're trying to just, like, go around, like, recruiting people to, like, join their hero squad and, like, to fight off Will Ferrell and Liam Neeson.
So another thing I'm kind of questioning is, you know, like, Lego has licensings to both Marvel and DC?
Yeah.
Is it going to be like, are they going to have that come to play? Or, like, you know, Who Framed Roger Rabbit style, where it's just like, every copyright material is thrown out the window, and now it's just like, let's just bring them all in?
I wonder if Lego Star Wars is going to show up at any point.
I'm hoping for Duplos.
Or, like, Lego Lord of the Rings or something.
I'm hoping for Duplos.
Or just go, just like the original Lego stuff, like Lego Ninja, like the weird one. What was the other one? Like, I think it was like Aqua Zone or something.
Something. I remember they fought like squids and like weird sea people. And I remember the Cowboys Indian thing that they don't advertise anymore.
And Lego Space.
Lego Space. Oh, so fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only one I see like is like the licensed ones or Ninjago, whatever the hell that is, which is like it's Lego Ninjas, but it's got some weird board game with it.
I watched like one episode by accident. It's
and then Lego City they do all the time now too.
I like Lego City. I don't mind Lego City. It's actually pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
But Ninjago, I fucking hate. it's so insulting for Asian people.
Wonder if they'll have like some Bionicles in there at some point.
But I actually. Let's take a sec. Bionicles, I didn't mind until they got way too Africanized. Like, everything about Bionics got too, like, they start naming shit after, like, African folklore legends, and I was like, done.
It's Voodoo Bionicle.
It's You in Relief Bionicle. Like, oh, I don't want to play this.
Yeah, so Lego's out in sometime soon. I'm guessing next year. And moving on to other news, we have a screenwriter for Episode 7 of Star Wars, and it's Michael Arndt.
Before it's too late.
Michael Arndt, who wrote Toy Story 3 and Little Miss Sunshine, both nominated for Best Screenplay Oscars.
And they're totally sci-fi related. Yeah, like that is totally what makes sense.
I mean, they're both
thinking like a studio with everything action. Hey, those movies made money and were well liked.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he will write Star Wars.
I don't get it. It's kind of like when they made Mark Webb direct Spider-Man. You know, it's just like, well, you made this one franchise famous. Like, you're good at doing this one thing.
Franchise? 500 Days of Summer.
Okay, his last name is the pun. Yeah. Let's hire him.
Okay. One part was probably the pun name. Two part was like, well, you're good at directing. Can you direct this type of film? He's like, I have no experience in this, but why not?
It's also, you know, it's also like, you'll take orders from us because you're an up and coming director, right? You don't have any demands.
You want to be a star? You'll call orders.
The evil Sony executive is just like putting his cat in the giant chair. He should do skateboarding. That's what the kids like.
Yes.
Skateboarding to an emo song. That's what they want.
Well, like, the good thing about this director, though, and especially with this concept, it's like he can bring a different idea, which may be sounding weird, but, like, it may be what this franchise needs ever since, like, episode 2 and 3. Actually, no, I like 3, so episode 1 and 2, you know?
Yeah.
But
I think Lucas wrote those himself or something.
It got a little weird, and I don't need to tell anyone, because, like, there are so many other examples of, like, better people explaining why it's bad, but...
Yeah, the Red Letter Media.
Red Letter Media, like, that fucking A, just the best example to explain why that series is, like, was swirling the drain. But just
not
having, like...
character.
And I'm just saying, like, this idea, we're shaming it from a distance, but until we actually see, like, what he's been doing, and then it's like, okay, I wouldn't thought that, because I don't think like that.
He's wrote great movies, so I'm sure he's
right,
able
he's
to
wrote great, like, personal, almost...
Interesting characters.
Grounded, yeah, but it's, like, grounded in reality. The thing about Star Wars is that it's kind of fantasy, so...
Yeah, because
Christopher Nolan presents Star Wars Episode
because,
7.
Toys Come to Life is realistic.
Well, their emotions are realistic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the I wrote about how Toy Story is all about, like, abandonment and, like, survival and, like, really emotional, like, damaging stuff that goes on in that movie for the characters, you know?
Facing, like, imminent death.
Well, that was the third movie. Yeah. Third movie was just, like,
that's
facing
what,
death.
That's what,
like,
this guy wrote. This
death with dignity.
But I'm saying... Now, apply that to Star Wars, and it's like, you probably don't want that emotional build-up for, like, the first new movie. You kind of want that maybe for the second?
I think you're good at, like, establishing the new characters and stuff.
Right, they're, that's what I mean, like, they're establishing a lot, but I don't want my, like, main hero be, like, the little girl from Little Miss Sunshine, where it's like, I can do it! You know, I'm just like, oh, okay, this is weird. Like, quickly, everyone hop into this van that has terrible parking and braking.
It's like, it's the Winnebago from Spaceballs.
What? Why didn't they wake up Mel Brooks and just be like, hey, your time has come.
get Bill Pullman over here.
He hasn't been doing anything.
Yeah.
Give him a job.
Lone Star. he had, like, the epic meetup of, like, Lone Star and Han Solo. Huh. Alrighty, so moving on to the last possibly story, unless there's anything we can figure out if there's anything else we need to talk about afterwards. But so James Wan, who directed the first Saw movie, apparently wants to direct a MacGyver movie.
I talk about directors just kind of like, hey, I did this, now let me do that.
Yeah. I would like to see MacGyver trying to figure his way out of a saw trap with, like, a rubber band and a pen.
You know, what they should have done was let a MacGyver movie come first, then a MacGruber. Now that I've seen MacGyver, I'm kind of like, well, MacGruber is funnier. I mean, yeah, it would be funny to see that, but I don't know, like, do we really need a MacGyver movie?
I mean, they're remaking everything else, so it's just... inevitable.
We'll see.
And then he's also directed Since Saw. He did Insidious and Death Sentence.
What's the last one you just said?
Death Sentence.
Oh, Death Sentence.
And Dead Silence.
Loved most of those movies.
Okay, well,
let him do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't mind.
Who would you get to play MacGyver?
Jason Statham.
Yes, that's pretty much this is like the answer for everything. Just put Jason Statham in it.
You know, honestly, I think Ryan Gosling.
Have you seen our site?
We have an award for him every year. So
Channing Tatum.
Ugh. I'll be too. I mean, you need a blonde guy with, like, who's a mullet, who's able to look rock a mullet. You know, we can't hire Kurt Russell anymore. Like, you'd be like an old MacGyver.
Who doesn't like guns?
Yeah, that's what I mean. You gotta think about movie stars who don't really use guns. That's why I'm like, Ryan Gosling didn't use a gun. And
they'd have to do it for the MacGyver movie. They'd have to have, like, Cuba Gooding Jr. do a cameo and then reenact his, like, the scene from that one episode where, like, MacGyver fights racism. It's on YouTube. Like, if you haven't seen it, search for, like, MacGyver fights racism on YouTube. It's, like, the greatest clip that's ever been on the internet. It's like they arrest this guy, and MacGyver's like, why'd you do it? Because he was black. No! And then Cuba Gooding Jr. is like, no, MacGyver! Because he's about to hit him with a gun. It's hilarious. I can watch it a couple of 1,000 times, and it'll still be hilarious every time.
No, you just like racism.
I just like ridiculous, over-the-top moments. Yep, so that might happen at some point. Anything else for news-wise you guys want to talk about before we get into New Year's Roundup?
Nah, I think we're good.
We could talk about the, right before we started recording, we saw the Tom Hardy's going to be Sam Fisher news.
I hope it's true.
Yeah. It should be Tom Hardy, but then dubbed over by Michael Ironside. Because he voiced Sam Fisher.
That would be good.
Are you sure he puts on a Bane mask?
Yeah, like it's like part of his 3D. As far as like the three-eyed night vision mask, it's just like
his trifocal night vision goggles.
Then he just talked like Bane when he was wearing it.
Yeah. Honestly, so, I think at the time
terrorism afoot.
Hello. I remember at the time they were thinking about George Clooney to do this, and this is like you gotta go by like 12 years.
Yeah.
So that would have worked almost. Like if they had George Clooney do a Sam Fisher, just George Clooney had to work out a little bit more. But Tom Hardy doesn't do a good American accent.
Not really, no.
So, we'll see what happens, but, and he's not a tall guy, like, he's a diesel guy when he wants to, but he's not big, you know, he's not, like, a broad man.
I wonder if he's able to do, like, freaking, like, wall splits and stuff, and, like, whatever, like, everything else Sam Fisher does, like, hanging upside down and, like, grabbing guys. And
like, hanging from pipes.
Tom Cruise. Yeah.
Tom Cruise, you said? He's getting too old for that.
That's what you think.
Hey,
Tom Cruise is solid sneak.
He climbed the world's tallest building, Chris, so.
I mean, I gotta see. I like to see Tom Hardy in more things, so I'm a fan of most of his work.
You probably make Sam Fisher British and no one would really care.
But that's the point of Echelon. It's that they're the shadow conspiracy of America, the shadow company of America, just like...
Well, he could be like, they recruited him, like, he came to America and, like, from England or whatever, and... It's like, explain, like, everything, like, every Jason Statham movie, it's just like, oh, I came from England.
I became a copper.
I'm an LAPD officer now.
Better get ready for Splinter Cell.
You know who can do it well, but his accent would be a little bit funny? Dolph Lundgren.
No.
Too big?
Yeah, he's way
too big. Van Damme.
Oh my god, Jean-Claude Van Damme. That'd be awesome.
Think about it. Hard Target era Van Damme is Sam Fisher.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Time Cop Van Damme.
Okay, let's go back to the MacGyver thing. He can rock a mullet.
Yes, okay. Van Damme should be MacGyver. That'd be amazing.
Van Damme should be, like, old French MacGyver that just uses, like, Cajun logic or something to, like, break out of locks.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so with Tom Hardy as Sam Fisher, I don't know. Show me production stills, and we'll see.
Yeah, I want to see him with, like, the signature night vision goggles.
I want to see him in a black, like, Catwoman-type suit. Upside down.
Snapping someone's neck. All right, so why don't we get into the New Release Roundup. And this week, our pick of the week is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the complete series. So this is the classic 80s, 90s cartoon. All 10 seasons on 23 DVDs in a turtle van packaging. It's 3 hours of bonus material, too. And then also trailer-related, there's a new Blu-ray triple feature of the first of the three live-action Turtle movies. Which is kind of weird, because like, they also have the four, the one includes TMNT, but this one's just the live-action ones.
I got that, the pizza box set.
Yeah. And they call Turtles 3 Turtles in Time now. Which I guess is kind of like the unofficial, official title. And TMNT 3 is Turtles in Time.
I it's fair to call it that.
They do time travel. Also this week we have Brave on multiple variations. You can get like 5-disc, 3-disc, 2-disc, 3D, not 3D, Blu-ray.
Did that movie did well? Like, was did it?
It did. I mean, it wasn't like the most, like, it wasn't like gangbuster Pixar numbers, but it was better than like, I think it was like in the middle of Pixar movies. Like, it wasn't like Cars or Toy Story 3 numbers, but it was more like, I think it was like Ratatouille, Wall-E numbers.
Like, I've seen most of, actually, everyone but Brave, so.
Mm-hmm.
And Cars 2. I kind of refuse to see Cars 2.
I refuse to see Cars 2 as well.
But.
Considering it's like, they did the impossible and made a rotten Pixar movie.
Yep. I can't believe it's like they there's such a high demand for a sequel that no one saw.
Yeah, they had to like re-release it like a month or two later back in theater just like try to like make money back on it.
Like, you sure? No one wants to see this, huh? Yeah.
It's back for another weekend. Come on,
take your kids.
Yeah,
they appreciate it. But with Brave though, it's like original. It's a semi-original idea and. It stars, like, a redhead. There's not too many redhead movies like that, mm-hmm. You know?
Scottish redhead.
Scottish redhead. She's feisty, which isn't apparently just a thing now.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like what happened was people saw Tangled, and they looked at Brave, and they're like, well, I like blondes more. They just, like, stuck to that. The gentleman prefer blondes.
Mm-hmm. So, also this week we have...
I don't know who looked at that and was like, hey, you know what kids love? Fucking medieval Scotland.
No, kids love Braveheart.
Kids love that shit.
Yeah.
You know what's hot right now? Bow and arrows. And
that
women.
Is hot right now.
That is so hot right now.
It's the year of the bow.
They might have to be, see, I don't mind if they bring back swords and bows back into, like, modern warfare so that you change it up.
Yeah. That might be the category is this, for the Kick-Ass Movie Awards, this year, Kick-Ass Awards, is best use of a bow. So, also this week we have Lawrence Arabia, the 50th Anniversary Edition. You can get, like, this crazy collector's edition, and also just, like, a Blu-ray single-disc version of it.
Cool.
It's a classic. It's also, like, 4 hours long.
It's also, like, the pivotal plot points of Prometheus.
Oh, he does watch Lawrence of Arabia at the beginning, doesn't he?
He quotes it a couple times. Yeah. Just like the smallest journey begins with like the whatever thing he says before like poisoning that
the
drink.
It's not minding that it hurts.
Big things have small have big things have small beginnings.
Right, it's like, well, maybe that's what... See, that. Maybe, here's another thing. Maybe he went crazy because the only thing he was watching that whole fucking flight was Lords of Arabia.
Over and over and over again.
Over and over again.
Also, this week we have Savages. I believe Oliver Stone. No,
I have seen his films.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's sort of
I'll see it. It looked good. Yeah, I was hoping it was all right, like a Netflix movie, but I guess not.
It's probably the best performing Taylor Kitsch movie of the year. Or, like, profit-wise, it didn't, like, lose as much money as Battleship and John Carter.
Hmm.
Also have Pixar Short Films, collection number 2, which is just a bunch of Pixar shorts. I think Bernie is on there. There's Small Fry from Friend of the Muppets, which is like the fast food Buzz kidnaps, like takes the place of regular Buzz. And Buzz ends up in like the fast food toy Adonis meeting.
When does that happen?
I think all Toy Story 3 shorts are like all after Toy Story 3. Because it's like, They all go, like, Bonnie takes everybody, like, I think like Rex and Woody and Buzz to, like, this chicken fast food place that has, like, a ball pit. And Buzz gets left in the ball pit.
I gotta see, like, I like the Toy Story universe. Like, I watched a little bit of the cartoon series just to see, like, the short clips of the Toy Story, like, CG.
Yeah.
So, I totally did not know they had this.
Yeah, they've done, I think, there was one in front, I think, was it Brave had one in front of it? It was definitely a recent Disney movie. It wasn't Wreck-It Ralph, it was, like, a different Disney movie. They had a, like, this short where, like, Rex ends up in, like, the bathtub, and they have, like, this, like, crazy, like, disco party.
Right, when they were trying to release Toy Story, like, 1 and 2 in 3D.
Well, no, it was, like, a couple months ago.
Finding Nemo.
Yeah, it was in front of Finding Nemo 3D, I think. Partysaurus Rex. So yeah, just a bunch, like, all the, like, DVD, like, the DVD bonus movies, they're always on the Pixar movies, and, like, the shorts that appear in front of other movies, it's basically collected in this Pixar Collection 2. Hmm. And then we also have Friends, the complete series, on Blu-ray.
Yay.
We also have The Watch out this week. I don't think no one saw it.
You were seeing, like, pretty funny-looking previews for that movie for a while.
Yeah.
But no one saw it.
Nope. It came and went.
I heard it's about cops.
It's not about cops. It's like these... Dad's
End of Watch.
Yeah,
that's
End of Watch.
Which looked equally terrible. Actually, I wanted to see Neighborhood Watch more than End of Watch.
Yeah.
End of Watch. There were fucking previews for that movie for like 6 months before it came out.
Yeah. They,
I saw for like 2 years had the same End of Watch trailer.
And did it change the title because of the Trayvon Martin stuff?
Yep.
What were they calling it? Like, it was, black dude killed by Hispanic? Or
it was Neighborhood Watch, and then they had to change it because, like, that guy who killed him was, like, a Neighborhood Watch guy. So it's, like, now it's just called The Watch.
Oh. Whatever. That's so fucking stupid. Can we get over ourselves, America? Jesus Christ. You can't name a movie Neighborhood fucking Watch.
I think some of the posters...
Too soon, Joe! Too soon!
Some of the posters, like, I think they had, like, signs with, like, bullet holes in it, too, or something with some of the posters. So it's, like... We can't have
like
a street side
dead
with
black kid face down on the ground. And I'm all like high fiving, like, yeah.
Oh, God.
Let's teabag him and take his rights. Christ, everybody grow up.
They probably got that scene from the movie, Joe.
That's probably an Easter egg.
That's in the original trailer.
Like Vince Vaughn kicking the shit out of some black.
Well, the original trailer didn't feature the aliens.
No, just like them, like
harassing kids. So they were just like, holy shit. Well, that thing came out, and they took it back to retool it to add those scenes back in. Because I actually honestly didn't... I would have seen it without the alien gimmick, almost.
Yeah.
And then when the alien gimmick came out, I was like, okay, that's what it's really about.
Mm-hmm.
There goes the twist. Like, can you imagine if, like, they didn't show the aliens, and halfway through the movie, they just pop up, and like, what
the fuck? Yeah, so that's out. And then also we have the collector's edition of Watchmen... Which is, I think it's the ultimate cut of Watchmen, which has it's director's cut with the Tales from Black Freighter edited into it.
Jesus Christ.
So it's like 4 hours, it's like 3.5 hours long or 4 hours long.
Yeah, but the Tales of Black Freighter plays very small role in the whole, like, story, you know, like, especially in the movie version.
Yeah, it was a separate DVD.
Which makes sense. Now they're like, well, what if it's like halfway, like at every 20 minutes during the movie, we'll pause it and play a different movie.
Yeah.
I could do that on my own.
Well, it's reflecting on what's happening in the movie, Chris.
Ugh.
What's happening in the Tales from Black Freighter reflects what's going on in the movie. in the world.
But that's too much, like, that's follow. It's like reading a book and then stop every chapter, pausing to read another chapter of another book.
Kinda. It also has the graphic novel and the motion comic.
And the screenplay, so you can read while watching the movie.
Yeah.
They should just call it, like, Watchmen Till You Puke.
Oh.
Too much Watchmen.
Two Watchmen for Watchmen. TV.
Watching the Watchmen.
Who does watch the Watchmen? We also have Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure on Blu-ray.
How's that not a double pack?
Yeah, I don't... Why is it just the first one, not Bogus Journey, as like a Blu-ray combo pack?
I don't know. See, I thought it would be... Oh, okay, it's been like, I don't know, 20 to 30 years since the first one came out.
Mm-hmm.
And...
They're talking about making the third one?
Talk about it, and it'd be funny, because it's, I really like Bill and Ted's excellent, like, Bill and Ted's logic of, like, time travel, where, like, it's somewhat linear, and they can go back and forth.
Yeah.
And I really like the concept of, if they can think it, they can do it, because they have to do it in the future in order to make it happen in the past.
And it's like no ramification time travel, because they can just, like, take anyone they want from the past, and it
right.
doesn't affect the future.
And it's not like Looper, where it's like, hey, we did something. We have to go back and change it.
Or like Back to the Future or something.
Well, Back to the Future's time travel is every time you do something different, you create a paradox.
Yeah.
But Bill Ted's kind of like, whatever, enjoy the movie. Here's Genghis Khan, by the way.
Yes, and George Carlin.
George Carlin.
Also, I have Nitro Circus, the movie, out this week. Like, non-disgusting Jackass, basically.
It's like, what if Jackass did BMXing and, like, go-karts?
Yeah. And they didn't do, like, horrible, disgusting stunts, like the fart helmet and getting attacked by animals.
Or the slingshot porta-potty.
Yeah.
I know, I didn't really, there's no interest in me seeing Nitro Circus, unless, like, it's on TV, and I'll watch it.
It'll be on MTV at some point.
Probably on a 24-hour marathon.
Yeah. And then you can also get a triple feature of the Austin Powers movies on Blu-ray in one convenient package.
That I bought that already. That exists.
Okay. I guess they're just like releasing it.
That's really weird.
Yeah.
it includes The Love Guru.
Oh my god. Also have Astonishing X-Men Unstoppable, which is volume 2 of the Astonishing X-Men motion comics.
That took, like, 3 years to get to.
Yes.
I remember, like, we watched... Joe, remember we watched one of the motion comics on Netflix, like, 2 years ago?
Black Panther?
No, but maybe the same company.
I can't remember. It's like...
There's Black Panther, Iron Man Extremis, there's the Scarlet Spider... No, not Scarlet Spider.
Spider-Woman.
Spider-Woman, yeah.
Agent of Sword or Agent of...
Agent of Sword, yeah. And now there's, like, Thor and Loki, Blood Brothers, and whatnot. Iron Man Extremis was dope.
Yeah.
As was the failed...
Black Panther.
I still have that theme song stuck in my head sometimes. Like, when I'm randomly, like, pooping or something. I'll just be sitting there like, Haki La Wakanda, Haki Lele, Haki Mese. Really weird.
Yeah, the first...
That's in my heart.
Yeah, the first one was Astonishing X-Men. There's no subtitle.
Right. Yeah, I forgot about that one. I didn't care for that.
It's based
that
on
was the first one I watched, so I was like, I don't know.
It's based on the Joss Whedon run.
I wonder why. See, if they were smart, they would hype. They would do most of the comics of older comics.
He's a huge, huge Kitty Pryde fan. She's like the main character of the Astonishing X-Men run.
Well, I'm just saying, like, if they're trying to hype up the people to get interested in the next movies that star characters that are established in older comics, why don't they go back and do, like, you know, the Dark Phoenix saga? Yeah, Days of Future Past, so people get, like, excited about the concept.
Because
it's like, they're trying to convert fans, like, new fans to old ideas, you know?
Well, I think it's, like, what would look coolest in motion?
Like, 70s Wolverine. Well, because he's, like, burly and short.
Yeah, they should do, like, an animated movie or something of, like, the Japanese Avengers to, like, before the Wolverine comes out.
Well, they try to do the really girly Wolverine, the Japanese one.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's like, my name's Logan. Hello. Like, oh no.
Snicked.
He laughs shyly.
And last but not least coming out this week is Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? The Complete Series in Mystery Van packaging.
You know, for me, it's all about the Mystery Guest one, where, like, they bump into Don Rickles, or, like...
the Harlem Globetrotters.
The Harlem Globetrotters, or Batman and Robin.
Yep.
Love that one. There's a Harlem Globetrotters, the Three Stooges.
Yeah, like, I'm waiting for that. But, like, I can't believe it's taking them this long to put them on DVD.
I'm sure they've been on DVD, like weird, like, Volume 1, Spooky Monsters. But this
and
is, like,
that's back when, like,
the whole series.
That's back when they used to crank out, like, 40 episodes a season.
Yeah. Because they used the same background over and over again.
Right, the production value was, you know, costly, like, because it's just per volume, but, like, to do it, like, editing-wise and graphing-wise, like, it's not that hard, because it's just like, well, interior of a castle, swamp, possibly a carnival.
Carnival.
But mostly for me, it's always been a fucking castle.
Yeah.
Or, like, a mansion slash castle. So. Can watch hours and hours of probably reused, recycled shots.
Mm-hmm. Try to keep track of, like, all the different Scooby-Doo series. It's always, like, Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? And there's this, like, Scooby-Doo Mysteries. It was, like, Scooby-Doo Incorporated.
Pup named Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, Pup named Scooby-Doo.
My all-time favorite. Scooby-Doo.
Was it one of Scrappy-Doo?
I think it's...
Fuck yeah, Scrappy-Doo.
It was just the one where, like, him and, like, Scooby...
No. It's just Scooby as a pup, and they're all kids. And then there's, like, Red Herring.
Red Herring.
And Freddy always thinks it's the fucking Red Herring.
It was Red Herring!
I'm talking about the one where it's just Scrappy, and it's, like, a Mexican boy, and, like, another dog that can sort of talk.
Yeah, like, Scooby-Doo's,
like...
This sounds a lot like a dream you might have had.
Scooby-Doo...
No, I swear to God, it was a series. What?
Scooby-Doo's non-union Mexican counterpart?
No, I will search this while we talk less about this, but... I swear, I watched this on Cartoon Network back when, like, they would throw on random 60s cartoons.
Yeah, I do remember, like, there was, like, a weird, like
Godzilla
like,
and Scooby-Doo.
It was like Scooby-Doo's cousin or something.
It was Scooby-Doo. Scrappy-Doo's is Scooby-Doo's cousin.
Didn't he have, like, a gray cousin, too, or, like, an uncle or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, wore a hat.
Yeah.
It's from that like series. It's just Scrappy-Doo, and it's, like, him and... shit.
Yeah, there's the new Scooby-Doo, and then there was Scooby-Doo Show. The Scooby-Doo Show. Scooby-Dumb was his cousin. Scooby-Dumb. And Scooby-Doo also has a brother named Yabba-Doo.
Okay, maybe I'm just thinking the Scooby-Doo Show, then. Because it's just him, like, dealing with his family in, like, somewhat mystery. But I swear, like, there was one where it's, like, it just started, like, dumb Scooby-Dumb and, like, Scrappy and, like, a Mexican child. And they solve, like, really stupid mysteries.
They somehow legally adopted this Mexican kid.
Okay, it's called Scooby-Doo and Scrappy-Doo.
Okay.
It ran from 1979 to 1980. Jesus.
All right. So, that's your Scooby-Doo history lesson for the day.
Yep.
So, why don't we move on into show and tell for this week? And one thing that we all saw was Skyfall, but we already talked about that in our review cast, which you can listen to right now on the site. For an hour of James Bond talk. Is there anything else? Is there anything you guys forgot to talk about on that show? You want to talk about now? Or do you want to move on to other stuff?
Negative. And furthermore, I only watched, like, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, and it was, like, weeks ago.
Well, how was that, Joe?
I was also without power for 2 weeks, so that pretty much...
I think
sums everything up.
You might need to be the decisive vote on Abraham Lincoln Vampire because Chris liked it and I hated it.
Well, I'm not going to be much help because there are things that I liked about it and then there are things I didn't like about it. Things I liked about it, the visuals were awesome. Things I didn't like about it, almost everything else. It was just very, very weird. I disliked the way it ended very much. I like that they skip over basically 30 years of his life, like important years.
Yeah,
like then, I understand that they had to take artistic liberties for the sake of the pacing and everything, but like they fucked up there.
I take the fight to the Senate. President Lincoln, you're being sworn in. It's like, what the fuck?
Like, they couldn't even have a montage, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, think about it. Montage of him, like, passing legislation, him giving speeches, shaking hands, kissing babies, all these things with Hungry Like the Wolf playing in the background.
It probably would have been like a Linkin Park song, though.
No, had to be Duran Duran. Because nothing says montage like 80s pop music, and Duran Duran, I mean... Come on. You know, and he's just like
Stan Bush
doing shit. Yeah.
You got the touch.
Yeah. I need a hero. I'm holding on for a hero to free us from the South.
Or like Paul Stanley, Live to Win.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Or just randomly like the Ace of Spades. Like, what? The kids love this song. Yeah. Throw it on.
It was also
but I digress.
It was super weird, too. Like, it was rated R, and then it was, like, for, like, the first, like, half of the movie, they just cut away before it even saw anything. Like, it's just, like...
Yeah, that was a little bit strange.
Like, he was about to cut, like, I remember his head up, like, cut away to, like, Abe Lincoln and Mary in the park, having a picnic.
Yeah. I'll put it to you like this. I'm not disappointed that I saw it. Like, I'm not angry that I saw it. I didn't hate it, but I really... I got exactly what I thought I was going to get out of it.
Yeah. I saw it for free. I
a little bit of entertainment.
It, so. I would say definitely read the book and not see the movie.
Yeah.
I would say watch the movie with an open mind and then
okay,
read
Chris.
The book.
We will never agree. It's gonna be like your
top. I mean to dig up that.
It's gonna be like your top 10 list of the year, and then I'm gonna put my worst list.
People are gonna get really confused.
Number 8, probably even higher. Like number 5, Abe Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Hey, Abe Lincoln Vampire Hunter is my year's Jonah Hex.
Hey now.
Yes.
If it's a tussle you want, I'll defend Jonah Hex.
So that's it for you, Joe. Is Abraham Lincoln Vampire?
Sadly, yes.
Okay, Chris.
I watched Robin Hood, the Prince of Thieves.
Oh, I was say like Russell Crowe Robin Hood.
No. Well, wasn't that one just called like Hood?
It was Robin Hood.
Okay.
There's a BBC show called
Hood. Yeah.
Yeah.
Robin Hood is a great example of like early '90s action comedies that doesn't quite know what it wants to be. It tried to be three things at once. It tried to be an action movie, a comedy movie, and then, like, a family-friendly movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you remember the toy line that this spawned?
Yeah, they repurposed the
I have
Ewok
most
Village.
Of those action figures, actually. I have everything but Morgan Freeman.
Well, you don't have the colored man?
No, I don't. I could never find him. I swear to God. I wanted him. I thought he was awesome.
Complete your tree set?
Fuck yeah, man. But I had Kevin Costner. Man, I use that figure for everything.
Reenacting Waterworld, the Postman.
No. But it's like, I need a, like, fucking...
Batman
I don't know,
needs
someone who
friends.
Played with action figures, back me up. Like, it was just like a suave-looking action dude.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this would be a good bad guy for Batman to kick the shit out of while I'm in the bathtub. Cool.
The swashbuckler.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yes, I'm Batman. I'm stealing these paintings.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm stealing these bubbles, these rare bubbles, and the soap.
So, I remember as a kid, I liked this movie, and I didn't watch it for a while. So when it was on TV, and I was like, "Oh, I remember this." And yeah, I just like it. There's some parts of it are kind of funny. Like I admit, some parts are like, "Oh, like." That's a good setup for jokes. And at certain points, it gets really violent for no reason. You know, like, it just, like, boom, action. You're like, wait, what? And it's just like they were laughing a few seconds ago.
Uh-huh. Alan Rickman is the sheriff in that, right?
Alan Rickman is not the sheriff. He is the, he's, Prince John.
Oh, okay. Prince.
He's, like, the guy, like, in charge. Like, he's the freaking...
So he's not the sheriff of Nottingham?
He's not the sheriff. He actually, his sheriff is his cousin.
Okay.
And I remember, like, as a kid, it was really weird, was, like, watching him slay his cousin. Because he failed to get Robin Hood, so he just, like, stabs him through the stomach with a sword.
Mm-hmm.
To, like, kill him. And then he puts a
figure, too.
Did he have the stab wound, or is like...
No, sword stabbing action. He had a badass, like, black, like, outfit and shit with, like, spikes on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Very gnarly.
Very big cape.
Anyway, yes.
So,
I'm gonna go find that.
It's, I mean, it, the story of Robin Hood is very classic. You can't really change the details, except some versions he's a burly Australian. Some versions he's a fox. Some versions he's, like, an anorexic British man in the woods.
Yeah.
Some versions he's not British at all.
Okay, I love... Kevin Costner, failing horribly to do a British accent. Or,
right.
Like, not even attempting it.
Oh, my God. It's just, like, he sounds like a Taurus.
Gather around, ye men.
He sounds like a Taurus in a, like, British reenactment village.
It's like the Family Guy joke of, like, Ben Affleck preparing to be, like, Fritz Henry. It's like...
So, that's pretty much what the feeling of this movie is. It's just, like... cringeworthy acting of Kevin Costner trying to be British, but certain parts are pretty good. Like the setup of like rallying the men, the stealing, the like their fucking cool village that he just builds.
Mm-hmm.
The Ewok village. Ewok village that's just like comically constructed and like all these like modern, like what we have today. They kind of were building then, you know, like their versions of things like rope elevators and agriculture, and like.
Winches.
What?
Winches.
Winches, yeah. Or, like, rope bridges.
Yeah.
The thing I remember about the movie was, like, how they don't really establish, like, they don't really point out too much of, like, the village, but I remember, like, the toy line commercials of it was, like, the most elaborate fucking playset ever, where, like, you needed, like, 8 feet of free room just to, set up really ridiculous, like, like, rope bridges and shit.
I'm sure they had like the like things that don't even come with it. They're, like there's like exploding like rocks and stuff and
like logs.
Yeah.
And like
look out, Robin! She have Nottingham's coming. Better blow up this rock bridge.
So
a log trap.
Oh like, yeah, at the end of the movie where they have the showdown between the soldiers of Nottingham and the merry men. It's pretty cool. It's the iconic scene of, like, him using a flaming arrow.
Yep.
That was the big thing. Like, ooh, he's good with an arrow, but what if it's on fire? And remember the song at the end?
The Brian Adams song?
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the greatest movie ballads of all time.
I will die for you.
Everything I do.
Everything I do, yeah.
Well, is it just in the credits, or I thought it was in the movie, too?
It's in the movie. It's, yeah. Like, when there's weird romantic dialogue weird or, like, reflective
physical
moment.
Interlude.
It was, like, a comical violin version of it playing softly in the background. Or it's, like, almost distracting, because it's, like, you're in your head, you're filling in the lyrics. Is that how many times I've seen this, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, like, they're talking, then, like, slowly, like, a flute solo of it will start playing, like, do-do-do-do-do! Do 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 do. Like, oh no.
We should do for musical montage some month. We should do like a month of like maybe February. That'd be awesome. Like action movie love ballads.
Well, I remember it's like this and the Musketeer one, All for One.
Yep. And Con Air had How Do I Live? And then Armageddon.
Yes.
Don't wanna miss a thing.
Yeah.
That's 4 weeks right there.
There you go, Zach.
It's done.
It's in the done.
February musical montage is done.
It's the romantic action ballads.
Yeah.
All right. So what about you? What did you watch?
I watched the series finale of Avengers Earth Mightiest Heroes.
Series or season?
Series finale.
Ah, because they're coming back, like, just revamped.
It's turning into Avengers Assemble next year, which is basically like, more movie-based. Like, everyone, like, looks more like their movie counterparts, and then they're adding, like, Falcon, Black Widow in. But, yeah, it was pretty, it was a little rushed. It probably could have been, like, it should have been, like, an hour, like, a two-part finale or something, because they had a bunch of two-part episodes, the whole show, but the series finale was, like, this, like, really rushed, like, they had, like, fight Galactus and his heralds. So they basically recruited, like, every hero who's been on the show. So, like, Fantastic Four, Spider-Man, Wolverine, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, War Machine. I'm trying to think. Yeah, like, Black Widow came back, Hulk. And then, like, all the Avengers. So basically they all, like, they all split up and, like, fought, like, it was, like, the four heralds of Galactus. So they all had to, like, fight the different heralds. And then they had, like, fight Galactus at the end.
Cool.
So it's pretty good. That series was amazing. Like, it's probably one of the best superhero shows, cartoons that's been on. I put it up there with, like, Batman Animated Series.
Wow.
Just because, like, it just completely nails the characters, and it features, like, classic Avenger storylines, and just a bunch of, like, really awesome, like, great, just, like, integrating, like, different Marvel, everyone in the Marvel Universe. Like, they fought, like, different, like, the different villains, of the, like, they'd fight, like, Leader at one episode, and then they fight, like, Red Skull next episode, so, like, they featured, like, everyone's different villains, and then they had, like, classic, like, the Secret Invasion and the Kree-Skrull War and all classic, like, Avenger stories. So just, it was an amazing show. And hopefully Avengers Assemble is like half as good as it. And then the other thing I watched was Maximum Conviction. Which we gave away last week on the site.
Congratulations, winner.
Yes, congratulations, winner. Yeah, so it's Steven Seagal teaming up with Stone Cold Steve Austin. And they are these black ops operatives who are decommissioning this, like, super secret army prison. And then there's, like, these two female prisoners that are brought in. And then this, like, squad of mercenaries or evil guys come in and, like, are trying to, like, kidnap the female prisoners and take them away because they have information or something. And it's basically, like, this, like, typical, like, if you've seen, like, True Justice or, like, Steven Seagal is operating like True Justice mode in this movie, like very Cajun, very like he has like his ridiculous like tactical gear on that he like wears True Justice all the time, like his like shooting glasses and like his backwards baseball cap, and basically it's just them like it's kind of weird because it's like there's really no threat to that, like it's like Seagal and like Stone Cold are just like steamrolling through these guys.
So there's, like, no challenge.
No challenge. It's like, Seagal, like, enters a room and, like, murders, like, five of the mercenaries in, like, one scene. And Stone Cold kills, like, three of them and, like, runs off. But, like, Stone Cold kills, like, three of them with, like, no weapon. Or, like, he has like, a knife and, like, he kills, like, three of them and, like, runs off. So, yeah, so it's basically just, like it's not, like, it's kind of set up like a Die Hard or, like a Die Hard, like, Assault Precinct 13 or something. Like, it's, like, they gotta, like, figure out a way to, like, get, like, there's, like, overwhelming odds. They, like, figure out, like, they have, like, limited resources. They gotta figure out how they're gonna get out of the situation. Basically, the situation, how they get out of the situation is, like, murder everybody with, like, no effort. And it's crazy, too, because, like, so you have Seagal and Stone Cold, and they have, like, a backup team of, like, three guys. And they get called in, and they start, like, steamrolling people, too. So it's, like, there's, like, murdering, like, this mercenary crew with, like, no effort.
So it seems like it's like a bunch of idiots with guns trying to take on two various like specialized killing machines.
Right? Yeah, like Seagal is like an operations and tactics expert, and then like Stone Cold's like the weapons expert.
Okay.
It's just, I mean, it's solid action throughout. Something like. there's some good, like, Seagal. there's a crazy, like, Seagal, like, you know how, like, Seagal, like, preaches to people sometimes?
Oh, you gotta sometimes be the bigger man.
Yeah, like out in, on deadly ground, like, the bar fight of acceptance.
Is that what it's called?
That's what people have called it. That's what we call it here at Everything Action, is the bar fight of acceptance. Or
it makes sense, tolerance. Too. You gotta respect the Native American culture for being a drunk white man in its bar.
What does it take to change the measure of a man?
A beating.
It's like time. It takes time. And Scott's like, yes, that's right. But this one, like, he's, like, in the final, like, battle with, like, the evil head leader of the mercenaries, who's, like, this, like, corrupt CIA agent. And he's like, man, you're a warrior, man. You took a warrior's oath. Now you're breaking that and dishonoring yourself. Why are you doing that? You're supposed to fight with honor when you're a military person. You have no honor, so you're going to die. He also gets, like, there's, like, this part where, like, there's, like, this, like, giant inmate, like, this giant, like, guy, and like, one of the inmates is, like, beating up on the guards, and, like, Skull just, like, runs in and just, like, beats the crap out of him. It's like, what's going on, baby? What's going on? What's the problem here? I should use my, it's an old saying, the bayou.
What's he, did he actually have one?
No, he didn't have, like, an old saying for the bayou, but. But yeah, if you want to see, like, Stone Cold and Seagal just, like, just destroy an entire, like, squad of mercenaries, you can go watch Maximum Conviction. it probably could easily be, like, a True Justice episode of, like, the True Justice team has, like, go, like, hang out in this prison, like, or, like, transporting prisoners to this prison or something, and, like, they get attacked for no reason by, like, Russian mobsters or something. Or, like, the Chinese or some other random group that's attacked them on True Justice.
Just what happens to them.
Yeah, it's a good, like, if you, like, till like, True Justice Season 2 comes out, it's a good, like, Seagal, Hank holdover. And then that's pretty much it for me, besides Skyfall. So, I think we can wrap this thing up for the week. Right, Chris, anything else you want to talk about?
Nope.
Okay. So, if you want more from us, you go to www.everythingaction.com for news, reviews, features, trailers, videos. Our Skyfall review cast is up right now on the site, so go ahead and download that for an hour of our thoughts on Skyfall. And we should have a written review from all of us up by the end of the week, so definitely keep checking the site for the written roundhouse review of Skyfall. And actually, speaking of Bond, all this month we're featuring Bond music in musical montage. So this week we featured the music of Roger Moore, and next week we're going to be doing Dalton Brosnan. I think one of my favorite songs is from Brosnan, which is the GoldenEye song.
It's pretty awesome. It's sexy, confusing.
Tina Turner, written by Bono and the Edge.
Performed by, like, as the models, like, skinny Russian women.
Smashing, like, statues of Lenin and, like, sickles and hammers. And, like, guns coming out of their mouths. So that's every Monday, and then all of our regular features go up on their normal days. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/everything.action for all our, we put a bunch of links on there, videos, news stories, all sorts of stuff on the Facebook page. We're on Twitter, twitter.com/evaction. You can also email us at contact@everythingaction.com. We're on iTunes. If you go to the iTunes Music Store, search for Everything Action. You can subscribe to the podcast on there. You can rate us. You can leave comments, leave us some reviews. If you subscribe on iTunes, you get our regular episodes. You can also get our review cast. And you also get our commentary. So definitely subscribe on iTunes. You get all three in one shot there. Also, on there is an app you can download. It's free for your iPhone or iPod Touch. And you get the last 20 years from the news stories from the site. And you can also listen to the podcast center as well. And you can also listen to the podcast on Stitcher.com. Just go there, search Everything Action. You can stream us on there. You can download episodes. You can also download their app for whatever phone or mobile device you have. And you can listen to us on there. And I think that's it. So for Chris and Joe, I am Zach, and we'll see you next week.